Shotgun snap. Lux got it. Back to pass. Lux, he got hit! And the ball comes out! It's in the end zone! It's free! It's recovered by the Browns! And Robertson's got it for a touchdown!
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was Craig Robertson recovering the fumble at the end of the first quarter to give the Browns 7-0 lead. That was the first of two defensive touchdowns on the day for this Cleveland Browns defense against the number one offense in the NFL. Jim Donovan, of course, on the call. He'll be with us at 1:45 for the roundtable presented to you by Blue Point Grill. I got to give a shout out as well. I thought Paul Kruger played a great game. I thought Desmond Bryant continues to play very, very well. Wreak havoc along that defensive line. Those two collaborated on that sack fumble that produced the touchdown for Robertson. And I will say this too, and I don't like to complain about officiating or cry or this, that, or whatever, but I thought the officiating was awful on the sack for Paul Kruger that really changed the game.
Yes.
That would have been a punt that went to end up being a field goal on that drive for the Colts. It was a clean hit, the way you're taught to do it. Hands, it looked violent, and I understand they don't have the benefits of all the replays that we do, but he hit him with his hands, and yes, Andrew Luck's head went back because that was a vicious hit. And we saw, again, almost a potentially game-changing one in San Diego, New England last night. Perfectly clean hit from Brandon Browner.
Yep.
That took a touchdown off the board when they threw that flag on his hit on Ladarius Green.
It is, and also, too, if you go back and rewind and watch that Kruger hit again, it was a delayed flag as well. He almost let it slide, and then he felt obligated because it was almost like his second thought in his mind was, first it was big hit, wow, and he was going to move on, and then it's just, I'm kind of going through the processes, and then he goes, oh wait, I feel obligated to throw because it was such a violent hit, whether
hit
he was right or wrong. Exactly.
Right.
See, Bob Golic mentioned that he thought the hit it should have been flagged. And I thought that was interesting coming from a defense lineman. And Bob's whole point was just for the simple reason that his head, it was the crown of his helmet, is what you see. And that's what they're flagging. So I don't necessarily agree with it. I thought it was a great play by Paul.
The crown of his helmet actually didn't hit him because he actually hit him. But I could see that
right.
It looked like he led with the crown.
And that's what it looked like.
It looked
so,
right. And that happens like that
and when it
to
happens
the referee's
like that,
eye.
But when you get to watch it on television, it probably looked worse on television. But I thought it was one hell of a play by Paul.
It was a great play. And that was a turning point.
The other shout out we got to give. How about you got to be happy with Travis Benjamin and those punt returns, man.
He looked good.
No fumbles.
A
little scary
the ball.
Trying to get extra yards a few times where I'm like, get down, dude. You got 15. Just get down. But, I mean, averaging over 16 yards a return as well.
That was fantastic. You got, of course, this defense playing very well. There were so many plays watching the tape back this morning. So many plays where Andrew Luck literally had no one open, nowhere to go with the football. Jim Leonard steps right in. Big sack and interception for the second straight week. Justin Gilbert steps in and plays very well.
Great read by him in that defense.
And that was great when they baited Andrew Luck into that. It was a coverage they were going for. He steps over, picks the pass off, gets in the end zone. Showed his returns. Showed what he could do with the ball in his hands, by the way, on that. Pretty electric.
If I can go back to Jim Leonard here, I want to for one reason.
Go.
I think when you have somebody like Tayshaun Gibson go down with his injury, who was leading the NFL at that point with interceptions, and Jim is able to step in, you know, an 11-year veteran to come in and do the things that he's done and not miss a beat defensively, especially at that position, that guy deserves some credit, man. He's been playing really, really good football.
Big pick in the red zone last week.
He's a guy that you don't ever hear from during the week. He just goes out there on Sunday and does his job. And I think he should be commended because, again, he's showing what a true professional is.
He certainly is, and this Browns defense turned in a very professional effort, limiting Andrew Luck in the first half of the game, 1 of 8 on third down. That's just 13% for the game. They did a great job on third down as well against them, 5 of 16 on the day. This was a great performance from this defense, and again, it was the woes of the offense that let this team down. Listen to this, guys. The Browns had one drive all day of more than 45 yards on offense. One drive of more than 45 yards of offense all day long. Second half, here are their drives. 2 yards, 3 yards, 7 yards. No first downs in the third quarter on three possessions. Then 17 yards, one first down. 2 yards, which they ended up getting a field goal off of after an interception by Jim Leonard. Took them down to Indy's 23. They were only able to muster 2 yards there. 25 yards, 15 yards. Just not enough. Only 3 first downs in the entire second half for this Cleveland Browns team. They went 0 for on third down in that half. And really, when you looked at it, you're up 21-7 at one point. You just need to move the clock. You just need to get some first downs. And I remember thinking on the sideline, we're up 21-7. I wouldn't mind seeing Johnny here solely for the impact he'd have on the ground game, because all we needed to do were really get a couple of first downs and just keep the clock, as my friend, as the kid says, roll, Willie, roll. Just get that clock moving, and we could not do it.
You're right, and I think also, too, the one thing that is frustrating a lot of fans, if you listen to feedback, and I do think, is the a lot of our runs, it feels like, are very similar. You know, that we have the pitch that stays outside, we have the pitch that cuts back, and we get the outside zone. And that's about it, you know. And I think, as you saw time and time again, Andrew Luck go from under center and then also to go from gun. And they were in running situations where they would pull a guy, get him out in front, and when they needed the tough yards, you know, and on fourth and one, what did they go to? You would think Andrew Luck would have sneaked the ball, you know, at 6'4", 240. Or you think Andrew Luck and, you know, put the ball in his hands and have him make a play. But no, they run the football.
And the Browns almost had it. Barkevious, right? Mingo blew that play up. And Dante would have cleaned it up, but their guard actually tripped and fell into Dante. So he had to kind of take a step back before he could get up there. And then Heron with the spin move. Yeah, that was a tough one as well. I will say this about the ground game. After getting to watch it back, and you really get more of an appreciation for the running game, especially watching that coach's tape in the, you know, the view from the end zones. There were a lot of plays that were one block away from being big runs. Yep. And when one guy gets blown up, if it's in the wrong place at the wrong time, a running play is completely wiped out.
Absolutely.
And
right.
Too often that happened to the Browns in this game against the Colts.
I want to bring one point up here, because what you said with those statistics that you just rattled off there, the yardage that we were getting offensively.
None.
So what's the question?
Exactly.
You know, that's the thing, is you can't tell me that going forward that it's okay, we're going to get it right next week. It's just got to be changed, because that's unacceptable to call yourself a professional outfit.
That's failing.
Right. And it just – because I know that if I was in the film room like these guys are right now, I would hate coming. Matt, you and I talked about that. We were going to get some lunch. I would dread this day coming in there, because there's so much stuff that can be picked apart, not only with Brian, but some of the receivers, you know, with Josh Gordon. There's so many things that come to mind right now, but it has to be changed, because there's so much negativity. And when you just rattled off the yardages that they gained there on the possessions, it's unacceptable.
61 yards of offense in the second half for the Cleveland Browns. That is completely unacceptable. One field goal for the offense in the second half, and that came after a 2-yard drive following Jim Leonard's interception. And I was watching Jim Leonard with that ball saying, please get into the end zone, because then we know we've got the points. Right. You know you've got them. And there were points you needed, obviously. Billy Cundiff misses a field goal for the fifth straight game. Can't have those kind of mistakes on this team. Stan in Brooklyn, going to kick us off. What's up, Stan?
Gentlemen, you know, patience is a virtue.
It can be at times like this.
You know, hope, faith, and charity. That's what we need to think about Christmas time here.
That's right.
And, you know, the fans, I got about 10 different things here. You got to hear me out. Okay, first.
Let's try to hit on the key ones.
All right, first half, missed opportunities, 3 and outs.
Yep.
Penalties. Billy Cundiff, that's one thing I want Petine to
address. You've been on that all along, Stan.
Billy Cundiff, please leave Cleveland. You're no longer welcome here. Josh Gordon, he's not in shape. He's gassed. He needs some therapy through a pulmonary specialist. Okay, Hoyer's supposed to be on a short leash. What short leash? There was no short leash.
There was no leash at all.
Okay, look, it to me and the fans, you know who really deserves the defense overall. And I want to mention Spencer Lanning. He kept Luck boxed in a few times, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He certainly did. In fact, okay, both we of could the, take, the touchdowns and, came and, as a and, result and, of that. And, yep. Could not take advantage of it. Stan, you're right. Missed opportunities for this Browns team, clearly. Randy and Zania, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this disappointing Monday following the Browns' loss to the Colts.
Yes, I got just 3 quick points. I know that Joe Thomas had a quote that playing Manziel earlier last week would be like giving up on the season. And I had called in last week and just said the complete opposite, that by staying with Hoyer, the way he's played the last 4 or 5 games, that we were already giving up on the season. So, but let's just say if Joe Thomas was right in that quote, if Manziel's that bad that he can't play any better than what Hoyer's showing, then we better draft a quarterback next year in the first round, is all I got to say on that first point.
Let me say this, though. I don't know how you could make the case that He's not. The Browns have had a quarterback account for one touchdown in the last three games, and it was Johnny Manziel who had two drives. So I don't understand any argument that would say he's worse. How could you make the case that he could be worse right now?
Just because Joe Thomas.
Just what, Joe Thomas? Right.
No,
what,
I know. No, I'm saying that to
but
him.
But you guys have to realize, too, out there that offensive linemen do not like controversy. Offensive linemen find themselves that they're heard in the media too much. It's kind of this policing system. What Joe Thomas was simply saying is that Brian Hoyer was going to start the game because Coach Pettine already made the decision. So he's backing Coach. He's backing Coach. I guarantee you Joe Thomas is not saying that Johnny Manziel is not the quarterback, that he's not a good quarterback. Joe Thomas would be foolish because everybody's seen what Johnny Manziel has done with the football, not only for the one series he had here, but what he's done in college. So Joe Thomas, when an offensive lineman speaks, it's usually to kind of deflect criticisms and all that may be pointed at somebody else, man. These guys, his job is to block. And again, I told you before, it's not to answer questions from media.
I agree with that. One question I want to ask you both about here, because we heard about Josh Gordon, gassed, et cetera. What did you guys think about his effort, as it were, in this game as players? Did you see anything that jumped out to you? Because that's been a big topic of discussion today. I know he gave, obviously, serious effort on that pass. He dove right in front of me at the end of the game. You would have loved to seen him catch that one because it would have put the Browns in field goal range, but wasn't able to do so. There was the one, you know, when down the sideline that it didn't look like he tried to kick it in that extra gear or really get after it. But what was your sense of Josh Gordon's performance? Because it was really non-factor in this game.
I think just solely based around his first two games back with the Cleveland Browns, he's gotten involved early in the football game and had his presence be felt. And that didn't happen this way yesterday. Yes, he got some early catches, but then Brian Hoyer, for whatever reason, was going elsewhere with the football. And I think in that case, Josh Gordon got a little bit of bored. And then also, too, I think when he was delivered the football in certain situations, there was, at that point, Gordon wasn't in the game anymore. And he kind of, like, he lost interest in the football game.
And he wasn't in on a lot of third downs, which I thought was interesting.
It was very surprising to see, you know, Gabriel Hawkins and Benjamin in on third downs. And in those cases, we're still in that bad situation of third, 7, 8 plus, which is where you would think is a prototypical Josh Gordon type of down. And the other thing, just to stay on Josh Gordon as a topic, but again, I thought he lost interest. And when you lose interest, you know, there's a lack of effort.
You're a professional, though. You can't lose interest. You're paid a lot of money for 60 minutes on a Sunday 16 times a year.
Believe me, I know, but you see it across the NFL each and every week.
Especially for somebody who's missed, you've been suspended for 10 games. Yeah, you lose this your third game. How are you losing interest?
I think knowledge of the game is very evident to me right now with him. I think the effort has been lackadaisical. I think some of the criticisms that Brian Hoyer has gotten has been because Josh isn't finishing routes. I saw early in the game, that first series, we had a deep in route that Josh ran. Versus a cover three safety, it's almost sometimes a suicide mission. Your job is to come in there full speed, break on the in route, catch the ball. He came out of his break at that 15, 16-yard mark where you run your deep ends, and he just kind of, like it was a cover two, like he was trying to find a hole, and Brian threw the ball right down the middle where Josh should have been. Again, sometimes I think what you just said there, you've been gone for 10 games, and you're losing interest? I can't buy that, man. That's a shame. That is a shame. You've let your team
but
down
I could
for
see
10
it.
Games. Oh, no, it's obvious. To me, it's obvious because, again, I think his knowledge of the game, I think right now, to be honest with you, is lacking because it's unacceptable to call yourself a pro and an all-pro at that and be able to play like that, to kind of give up on some plays or not block or not go full speed. And, again, I think there's smoke, there's fire because I think when he was out of the game, there's a reason. I think he hasn't been doing his job. And if you don't do your job, they're going to find somebody that will do your job.
It's interesting. He seems so energized on that drive when Johnny came in against Buffalo and actually ran in a different in a different speed, it seemed like.
And that's a shame. That's an absolute shame if that's what it is because you don't like Brian Hoyer and you like Johnny Manziel. That's an absolute shame. And I that's embarrassing to call yourself a professional if that's the reason that you like Johnny better than you like Brian.
Hopefully that was not the reason, and hopefully things will get righted there because clearly is one of the most talented players on this team and in the National Football League. You want to see him excel. Want to actually echo something Joe Ribelli just tweeted as well, and it's true. despite the horrible loss, got to prop out Marlon Moore's gunner skills yesterday. Great effort. Guys, Marlon Moore, Marlon Moore's a beast. He's a beast. Covered the ball down, down the one at the one, and then also the big hit on Josh Cribbs, some other good special teams tackles. Marlon Moore has been a phenomenal addition to this team, no question. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue on the phones, 216-578-0850. Obviously, a lot to get to here for the Browns and a lot of questions. Again, you don't like that. More questions than answers for this team following the 25-24 loss to the Indianapolis Colts.